Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Today's passage reveals secrets of living a wise and honorable life in a world full of challenges and temptations. God is in control of everything, and we should trust Him and follow His ways. The Lord wants us to be humble, honest, prudent, and self-controlled. We should avoid pride, dishonesty, folly, and anger. Words are powerful. Use them wisely. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 16, verse 10, and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy.
Verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. Now, except for the next verse, verses 10 through 15, all speak about the king of the nation. Because the king in those days possessed absolute rule over every part of the nation. God is big on honesty. How many of you know that? We are to provide for things that are honest, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of man. And in verse 11, a just or an honest weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. We already saw in chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Leviticus 19:36, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Fairness, uprightness, and honesty, that's kingdom living. My wife and I paid a visit to our daughter, and the grandsons were out, and our oldest granddaughter and her baby sister were sitting there. And so Sophia was talking about how when she gets tips at the restaurant she works at, she wants it included so that she can pay taxes. And then she mentioned that there were others who were working under the table. And so as Sophia's talking, Samantha's there looking at her, and so I just looked under the table. And I says, I don't see anybody under there. And the idea was, and then Sophie's, oh, well, she told her sister, she goes, those are people that are trying to rip off the government. And how many of you know, you can pay for something now or you will pay later. Nobody gets away with anything here. You know that, right? I mean, we're atoned for, we're heaven bound, but that doesn't mean that once we're saved, God says, okay, forget my laws of honesty and justice. No, they still are intact. If anybody should be the most honest and just and ethical people on the planet, it should be us. Verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. In other words, wicked behavior is detestable to kings. How much more is that true of the King of Kings? The Family Bible Network says, there is but one law for rulers and private persons, righteousness and prosperity, or wickedness and ruin. Another verse 13 about how we talk. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks what's right. And I think it was last Wednesday where we talked about cultivating an awareness that wherever we are, the Lord hears. Seeking to speak in such a way that pleases Him, that delights Him. And the Lord does say a lot about how we speak. We've seen that in the Proverbs, so we're not going to go over that much more tonight. But we've covered that. The Bible says many things about the tongue. Just read James chapter 3 if you have a hard time sleeping tonight, what it says about the tongue. It's a world of iniquity, and how people are hurt by the words that are spoken. Verse 14, the wrath or fury of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. Verse 15, In the light of the king's countenance or face is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain or like the spring rain. How wonderful it is to walk in the favor of King Jesus. How refreshing to know that his face is shining upon us. For those of you who were in the Jesus movement, you remember at the end of every church service, there would be that song that was sang. Remember, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God's face shining upon us. That's what we want, don't we? His face shining upon us. That's why there would be times where they would say, Lord, do not turn your face away from us. In light of the king's countenance is life. Lord, cause your face to shine upon your people here tonight. We need it. The face of your approval, of your grace, of your love, of your mercy, that you are in control. Here's another better, verse 16. I know you're writing these down. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding or insight rather to be chosen than silver? Do you believe that? So you've got wisdom, or you've got a whole bag of gold, understanding, or a whole bag of silver. You got a choice. Here it is. Gold, silver over here. You got the wisdom of God over here. You got your Bible. What are you going to take? Which one are you going to choose? If it's the gold and the silver, you'll spend it quicker than you can think. You see, what we want, what we really need, God is really telling us. He's not anti-gold or anti-silver, right? But he wants us to learn that what we need in life is his wisdom. What we need is his understanding. What we need is his insight. That's what we need to navigate through life. It's more than money. It's more than material things. That's what he's telling us. The kingdom of God, it's not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've seen Solomon in all of his glory, yet the lilies in the field, look at how much more beautiful they are. I love God's value system, and I think you do too. And the more that we renew our minds with God's value system, the more peace we have, the more comfort that we experience. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than choice silver? Why? Because every decision I have made in life that hasn't been based in the wisdom of God or the understanding of God, I'm still paying for it in one way, shape, or form. So it's better to have that wisdom, better to have that understanding. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart or avoid or turn away from evil. He that keepeth or guards or protects or maintains his way preserves his soul. Look again in verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Every single time. Often not immediately, but eventually. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Here's another better. Three of them tonight. Look at it. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And so the better sayings of verses 16 and 19 are meant to remind us of the value of wisdom over wealth and of humility with the poor over the spoil of the proud. Now we make decisions. Don't we all make decisions? Throughout the day we're making decisions. Don't we? Look at verse 20. Here's a good decision maker verse. Another one. He that handles a matter wisely or orders his affairs with discretion shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy or blessed is he. He who handles a matter wisely. Well, how do you know if you've handled the matter wisely? You've prayed. You sought God's wisdom. And you have followed his word and followed his wisdom. He who handles the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Happy. Blessed. There's a happiness in our culture that is not biblical, because it's all based on self. But God wants us to be blessed. To be blessed is better than being happy. But to be blessed is being happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Really? Blessed are those who mourn. Huh? Blessed are the meek. What? Happy is the man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. We walk by faith, beloved, don't we? Not by sight. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is walking through this chaotic world that we live in. That is a battleground. How many of you know it's a battleground? That's why we need armor. You don't ever see a military man go into combat with flip-flops and a tank top. We need on the whole armor of God. And we see, we endure as we see him who is invisible. God, give us wisdom in handling this matter. He loves it. Don't you love it when your children come up to you, when our children were young, and say, Dad, Mom, and they'd ask us a question and really want an answer instead of telling us what they're going to do? And go, first of all, Mom, Dad, what do you think about this? When we go to the Lord, I'm confounded. You should hear Pastor Ben and I during the day. Lord, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Lord, I'm clueless. I don't know where this is going. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know this. So, and I find myself so many times, we find ourselves so many times like Jehoshaphat saying, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Don't let us presume that we know what we're doing because we're pastors. No, we're knuckleheads apart from the Lord. Lord, help us. Help me deal with this wisely, not hastily. Now, maybe that's just for me because that doesn't have anything to do with any of you. But I've found how important it is to handle matters wisely and trust in the Lord. You've got this. Do you believe that God has your best interests in mind tonight, saints? Beyond a shadow of a doubt? Amen. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you know it or not, he has your best interest in mind. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm not manipulating circumstances. I'm not trying to make something happen. Lord, I am trusting in you. That's music in his ears. The wise in heart shall be called prudent or discerning. And the sweetness of the lips or pleasant words increase learning. Understanding, verse 22, or discretion is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. But the instructions of fools is folly. How many times we find the word understanding? How many times we find the word prudent, walking in discernment, walking in, Lord, give us understanding, godly understanding. You see, last week, before we started chapter 15, we talked about how Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke of the narrow path that leads to life and the broad path that leads to destruction. Well, the narrow path that leads to life is a path of understanding. Now, there's secular understanding, worldly understanding, but there's biblical understanding. The Bible says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were made by what? The Word of God. So, when you're having a conversation with family or colleagues or people that you work out with at the gym, and they say, well, where did all of this come from? Well, God created it. Well, how do you know? Because it says in the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how do you know that? By faith, I just know it. Then you ask them. If not in the beginning God, then you tell me in the beginning what? And then you really, then you get on that treadmill and you listen to them talk. And they're going faster and faster because they talk themselves right out of what they believed in. And then what? Well, then it was this. And then what? And then it was that. And then what? It was that. But then what? Well, in the beginning it was a big bang. They say, you do believe in the big bang, don't you? Yeah, at the end of the Bible, not the beginning. That's when the big bang's going to happen. You see, you got it backward. So there is going to be a big bang, right? Understanding. How we need that. The Bible, when Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, this is, comes to me, that when he prayed for the church of Ephesus, he prayed in chapter 1, he prayed for the church and he says, may the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lord, enlighten my understanding. Oh, enlighten my eyes that I may see through the lens of Scripture, that I may see from heaven downward. And he's praying for people that are born again. They're sealed with the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean that we don't need him. If anything, you know what the new birth reveals? How much more we need the Lord, right? Haven't you found out that the longer you walk with him, you need him more? You need more faith, more wisdom, more understanding, more grace, more strength. If you're praying, he must increase and I must decrease, guess what? He's going to answer that. Lord, help us. Lord, guide us. Give us tonight that understanding that we need. The instruction of fools is folly. Well, this is how they say it's done on the internet. Well, that's a sure recipe for disaster. Notice verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The wise person directs him or her to say right things and will continue to add learning to their lips. Teaching our mouth. Lord, isn't it a psalm says, set a watch, O Lord, upon my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I love that verse. Pleasant words, gracious words. They're like a honeycomb. Sweet what? To the soul and health or healing. Pleasant words exude healing. There's a healing power in pleasant words. And again, here we are talking about the importance of words in a home, in a marriage, in a church family, how important the words are. They set the tone, don't they? They create, in a sense, an atmosphere. Pleasant words, sweet, healing, like medicine. How much more the words of God when they're in our mouth. Proverbs 4 says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those who find them and medicine to all their flesh. The best medicine for a hurting soul, a hurting mind, is the word of God. Verse 25, here we are again. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 26, he that labors for himself, for his mouth craves it of him. Our needs compel us to seek ways to meet them. An ungodly man digs up evil. There's the tongue again. And his lips there as a burning fire. This is a classic description of gossip. It's a classic description of people that the Bible says meddle in other people's affairs. They hear something juicy, and then they spread it around. They don't really care to know the validity of the story. All they do is just spread it out. Digging up evil, Matthew Henry writes, they dig up evil, they take a great deal of pains to find out something or other on which to ground a slander, on which may give some color to it. If none appear above ground, rather than want it, they will dig for it by diving into what is secret or looking for a great way back or by evil suspicions and surmises and forced innuendos. I heard a story of a sister named Matilda who came to a wrong conclusion that was based on appearances only. Let me read you the story. A brother who was once an alcoholic came to Christ and joined the church that she attended. All was fine until one night she saw his van outside of the only bar in town. Since his van was outside the bar, he must be in the bar drinking his head off. Matilda immediately starts telling others that this brother is back to his old ways. She even approached the brother who simply says that what she thought wasn't happening. It wasn't the truth. After scolding him about appearances of evil, they parted their ways. to teach her a lesson, this brother parked his van outside of Matilda's house one evening and then walked home. Matilda learned her lesson. You know, we laugh, but we need God to help us with our tongues, don't we? Whispering, gossiping, backbiting, slander. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. God help us. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer, there again, a whisperer, a talebearer, a slanderer separates friends. The Living Bible paraphrase says, an evil man who sows strife and gossip separates the best of friends. I can tell you, I've seen that happen, and it's sad. Verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into the way that is not good. He shuts his eyes to divide froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. The phrase is shutting the eyes and moving the lips are references to secret deeds of mischief. Verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. That's a mighty big if in this verse. Because gray hair alone is no sign of righteousness. I know men with gray hair and they're grouches. Gray hair can be biological. It can be due to the effects of sin. It can be due to worry. If it be found in the way of righteousness. So for all of us fellow gray-haired men, ladies tonight, I pray it's because of righteousness. It may be biological, but righteousness. It's a crown of glory. Verse 32. None of you ever get angry, so I'm just going to read this quickly and then move on. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Wait, that's another better one. Isn't it easier to just fly off the handle? Isn't it? It is, isn't it? There it is. There's a moment. There's a moment in the home. There's a moment on the job. And you go, and then and you want to. I mean, you can just see the blood rising. No, that's not good. The anger of man never accomplishes the righteousness of God. Proverbs advocates being slow to anger. And he that rules or has dominion over his spirit, than he that takes a city. What? So you ever watch those Viking movies and you see these guys and they're taking over cities and everything? But the Bible says, if you can rule your spirit, you're mightier than him that can take a city. So I'd rather be Lambo than Rambo. Right? Here's the last one. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The lot, of course, was the ancient practice that was used to decide doubtful things. Remember, they cast lots on the ship. And the lot there on the ship revealed that Jonah was the one who was going against the will of God. In Matthew, in Acts chapter 1, verse 26, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The old Puritans had a saying, quote, everything is the wheel of providence, and there is no such thing as accident or chance. Do you believe that? There is a lot of peace when you and I, when I resign, let me speak for myself, when I resign from deity, I have much more peace than when I put myself on the throne. God, you're ruling things, not me. You're in control, not me. Casting lots was a way that people sought to know the will of God. We don't see casting lots since Pentecost. How do we discern the will of God? We've got His Word. We have prayer. We can seek counsel of one another. That's how we discern the will of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.